quite a pleasure because it's got so much less to say. But anyway, okay, so the kids are, just by way of introduction, it's interesting just to hear the psukim. When you come into the land to which I will bring you, when you eat from the bread of the land, you have to separate truma l'Hashem. Reishis arisu sichem, the first of your doughs, chala, tarim v'truma, kisruma skoidrim kain truma. So just like the truma you take from the threshing floor, so you should take truma from the dough. Reishis arisu sichem titnu l'Hashem truma l'doi reisichem, for your generations. From these psukim, Chazal learn, first of all, that challah has got a din of truma. In other words, it's given to the kohanim. The kohanim can only eat it b'taira. It only applies to that which we call lechem, which is the five species of grain. The Mishnah will elaborate on that in a second. The quantity of dough from which challah has to be separated is the same shear as the shear of the omer. And the omer of mon was asira sa'ifa, which is 1 8/10, 1.8 of a kav, almost 2 kav, because of the way the kavim were revalued over the years. It comes out the equivalent of 1 1/4 kav, or which is the same as 5 lug. And there's a lot of machlokes as to what that actually is in today's terms, but the psuk of the Beis Din anyway is that, and it depends whether the shear we're going kund chaznish or ramchaim noah, but more or less this sort of shear is given by everybody, that from £2 10 ounces, a dough which contains flour of £2 10 ounces, you have to separate challah. Less than that, you don't have to. Perhaps 1.2 kilogram is easier. And you don't make with a bracha until it's almost double that, 2.25 kilogram, £4 15 ounces. What else? How much challah do you actually have to separate? Like truma, there is no official shi'ur. Chazal gave a shi'ur, which is 1/24, almost 4%. But for a baker who's taking large quantities, making large quantities of doughs and trying to make a profit on it, then you only has to separate 1/48. And you see from the Pesukim that really it only applies in Eretz Yisrael when you come into the land, etc., etc. Nevertheless, we take challah nowadays in Chutz La'aretz, and also it only applies min ha-Torah when, even though it says l'do roseichem, but it only applies when Rov Klal Yisrael, or all of Klal Yisrael, live in the land. So nowadays it's only midrabanon, but in Chutz La'aretz it doesn't really apply at all. But Chazal said that Kadesh lo tishtakach Teiras Chala, in Israel, in order that one shouldn't forget the mitzvah of Chala, one should take it in Chutz La'aretz as well. But we're very lenient about Chala's Chutz La'aretz in various different regards. We're very lenient about it, and one is that we only separate a kazayas and we throw it into the fire. That's what we do with it. Fine. Just by the way, just share with you that there is apparently a famous program. I don't know what the program is, but
Quincy.
No, Bake Off, the Great British Bake Off. Yeah,
I've heard of it. Yeah,
after that,
it's watched by millions of people, probably even more than your Quincy Schmincy. And I was on it some months ago.
You found the great
Yeah, lots of people, so many people commented that they've seen me. I've done cushions before and had so many people.
I never saw you.
Oh, you don't watch it.
I don't watch it. Definitely
don't have such a...
Wow. For Quincy.
Anyway, the point is that whilst all these products are baking in the Great British Bake Off, they put in little bits and pieces of other issues. Just so they did something on bagels. And they went to... I sent them actually to the... what's his name in Hendon? The bagel,
Mr. Bagel Man.
Mr. Bagel, that's the Federation fellow.
Oh, sorry.
You know, our
Hendon Bagel.
Hendon Bagel, that's the one. And so one of the things I said when I was interviewed was that, you know, what do we do? What's special about a kosher bakery, they want to know. So one of the things we do is we separate challah. And I said, it's the most remarkable thing, because this mitzvah of challah goes back to the Bible, and it's mentioned in Numbers chapter 15 or whatever it is, that when you go into the land of Israel and you'll build there the temple, this is written thousands of years ago, the Jewish people go into the land of Israel and they'll build their temple, and the priests in the temple will have a little bit of dough will be separated from every single loaf which is baked. A little bit has to be separated to give to the priests in the temples. I wanted to put it in, I'm doing a little bit of pro-Zionist publicity, because they cut that all out. Okay, but it is indeed fascinating that to this very day, I said thousands of years later, we still keep up this very same mitzvah. Chamesha dvarim chayofim b'chala. Hachitin v'asairin v'akosmim v'shibulas shibulas shu'ol v'ashifin. Wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. Hari elu chayovim b'chala. Omitzdarfim zeh im zeh. And even if the doughs, we learn this as a gezeira shava, from v'achaltem milechem ha'aretz, and shivas yomim teichel olav matzos lechem oini. Lechem, lechem, the same kind of lechem we were talking about by Pesach, is something which can become chometz. Only something which can become chometz is there a chiyuv to separate challah from. Umitzdarfim zeh im zeh. But even if part of the quantities which we talked about before is flour from, let's say, wheat, and part of the quantities is flour from barley, they join to one another to make up the shear. V'asurim b'chodosh m'lifnei ha-Pesach, and from these five species, there is a concept of yashan and chodosh, that you're not allowed to eat from the grain and the flour of the new crop before Pesach, until the korban ha-oimeh has been brought on the second day of Pesach. U'milikto l'fnei ha-oimeh, and you're not allowed to eat from it, you're not actually allowed to reap it. I'm not going to get too sidetracked into the issues of Yashan and Chodosh, but those people who are makpid not to eat Chodosh nowadays, the issue is only the eating it. But actually, you weren't even allowed to reap it in the days when you had farms and you were growing the new crop. Before the Ketiras HaOmer, before the first part of the reaping had been done on Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach and brought the next day as a Korban HaOmer. V'im hishrishu koidim la'ima, if these species, if any of these five species, the crop had begun to grow, it had taken root before the oima, the second day of Pesach, ha'ima matiram, then they're no longer called chodosh, they're called yashon, they're from the old crop, and they're already permitted. How long, a very important question, practical question, is how long it takes for crops to become rooted in Mishvishu. How long does it take for them to take root from the time you put them in the ground? Whether it's 3 days or whether it's 14 days. But in love, if they haven't taken root, if you put them in the ground, even let's say a day before Pesach, and then it's too late, they haven't taken root yet, you won't be allowed to eat this crop. You put it in the ground, let's say in April, the day before Pesach, and it grows during the summer, and you reap it, I suppose, at the end of the summer or the beginning of the autumn. You can't eat it until the next Pesach comes along. And that is the issue with, in some countries, very much less so in England than in Europe, but in places like Canada, where grain is planted, it's a very short growing season, and very cold winters, very hot summers, they can plant it after Pesach, especially if it's an early Pesach, and they can harvest it already at the end of August or September. And it's questionable whether it might be on the market already by December, by January. So there are places people who avoid eating what's called chodosh crop until the next Pesach. And the main chashash would be precisely at this time of year, the 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, before Pesach.
You get these signs, don't you, in the Tribune every now and then?
Yeah, and that's even on the notice board over here. And that is basically what it's about. But we don't talk about it anymore because we've got a few Mishnayos to get through. Base. Ho'yichamem kazayas matzav Pesach. And if you eat a kazayas of matzah of these five species, then you fulfill the duty. Kazayas chometz, chayv bekaris, behikaris. And if chalila you eat chometz of these five species, then you chayv karis on Pesach. Nisarif echod mehem b'chol haminim, harizah over b'pesach. And if they become mixed in to some other species, some other varieties, but you've got a mixture, even a mixture you're chayv on Pesach, Hariza Uva B'Pesach, or some say Hariza Uva means misba'e, you have to get rid of them on Pesach, even though they're mixed in a mixture. Mixtures are forbidden on Pesach. Even a mashu chometz is also on Pesach, even in a mixture. Hanoidem in our pasa min our tavua osa mehem. And if somebody makes a neder that he's not going to eat bread or produce, then what is forbidden is these five species. But only these five species. So rice or something else will be allowed. Even a dough or a bread or a cake made of some other variety will be allowed. Divrei Mat. V'chachomim oimrim hanoidem min our dogon. Chachom disagree with that. And they say if you made a neder not to eat dogon, grain or cereal, I'm not quite sure how he translates it there, then you're also with these five species, and you're also elamehen, only from these five species. But if you use the word tavua or the word pas, then you could be also for any other kind of bread or any other kind of produce as well. V'chayovim v'chala b'masreis. And these five species, as we know, are chayov chala, and also chayav maseros. Well, that's pretty obvious. You have to take maaser from these species, as indeed from other, all other, or most other species, and many other species as well, as we've learned. But the Mishnah wants to say, as opposed to, Mishnah Gimel, as opposed to elu, chayavim b'chala paturim min maseros. There are situations and cases when you can be chayav chala, but nevertheless potter from maaser, from truma maaser. For example, leket, haleket v'shichava peya v'hefka. All these categories, as we've learned previously, there's no chiyuv to separate trumas and maaseros from them. But the poor person who's collected grain in the field, he's collected wheat, and he makes it into a dough, he is chayuv to take challah. Or maaser rishon shen litra trumosoi. Similarly, you can have maaser rishon in a scenario where the Levi came and took his maaser straight away from the field before the rest of the processing had been done and truma had not yet been taken, then there's actually no chiyuv truma on this produce which he has taken, and nevertheless there is a chiyuv of chala. Umaise sheni vehekdesh sheniftu, and similarly maise sheni or hektish which has been redeemed. Which has been redeemed. Afabishlo hufrishu memen or truma. And again, the same sort of example, that he came and took this maise sheni from the sheaves in the field before the processing had been completed and before truma had been separated. Or somebody was makdish, he gave his produce to the Beis HaMikdash whilst it was still in the sheaves, and therefore truma, there was not yet any chiyuv truma, so there's no chiyuv, and then it's redeemed, so somebody else, so the Beis HaMikdash gets the money, monetary value, and now this produce returns to chulin. But nevertheless, since at the point when it was taken, there was no chiyuv truma, there remains no chiyuv truma on it. You bought it from Hekdash, there's no chiyuv truma, but there is a chiyuv chala. Moisa ha'oima. And we talked about this bringing of the Korban Ha'oma. They used to, in order to do that, they used to reap a significant amount, Sholesh Soim Kemach, 3 sa'ah of flour, and then they would sieve it extremely finely through 13 sieves, and until they had 1 isaron of fine flour, a much, much smaller amount. And the rest of the flour, after they'd taken this isaron, was called Moisa HaOmer, the leftovers of the Omer, and it would be redeemed for money. Beis HaMikdash gets the monetary value, and the rest of it becomes Cholin. If somebody buys that, even though there was never a Chiyuv, there's no Chiyuv Truma, or Moisa, but there is a Chiyuv Chala. There is a Chiyuv Chala. Yeah. Utvua Shelo Hivir Shlish. And another case would be produce which had not grown a third. If it hasn't grown a third, then it's very, very young grain, young crop. There's no chiyuv trumas or maaseros, because the pasuk says, aset ases kol tevuas zarecho, the tevuah of your seed. And Chazal understand that to mean that it's got to have the ability to be planted as seed and to grow into another crop. But if it's only a third or less than a third of growth, so young, you can't plant it. It's too young to premature to produce any more grain. So there's no chiyuv trumas or masris. But there is once again a chiyuv chala. Rabbi Elazar, he met a vushalo vish vish patur menachara. But Rabbi Elazar says, actually, tavur, which is not grown a third, and then you make it into flour and make it into a dough, you're not chayav to take challah either. Because the pasuk says, "Ketrumas geiren kein tori moiso," like the trumas geiren, as we read before this pasukim, like truma of the threshing floor, so is truma of the dough. So if it's like truma of the threshing floor, so just like the truma of the threshing floor has to be more than a third grown, so for the purposes of challah, has to be more than a third grown. Dalet. Elu chayavim b'masros v'patur min challah. These are the other way around. They are chayav to take trumas of masros because they're produce. And they may seem to be very similar. They produce a kind of flour, and you can make doughs with them. But nevertheless, there's no chiyuv challah. Ha'ireis, ha'duchin, ha'perogin, ha'shumshmim, ha'kitnius, rice, millet. How does he translate the progim?
Poppy.
Oh, poppy. Yeah, shouldn't it? Yeah, poppy and sesame and legumes, peas and beans and these sort of things. You can make a dough out of them, but you're not chiyuv challah. Also something which is less than five quarters, what we said, five lug. There's four lug to a kav. So five quarters of a kav is the shear, as we said before. Less than that, you don't have to separate challah. Hasufginin, sponges, sponge cake. Something which is made with a very liquid dough. When you bake it, it becomes spongy. But before that, it's not a dough. It's not a thick dough. You can't pick it up. It's a liquid, basically. Yeah, belilo rako, as they call it. A batter. Yes, exactly. It's interesting. This word sufganin.
Sufganiot, is that not on?
Yeah, sufganiot, donuts.
Donuts.
But the samach pe gimel. It's interesting. Got exactly the same root as sponge. We call it sponge. Sponge. Same word. Sponge. Sufganin. Rukikin shabilos and rako kusfoig. They are soft like a sponge. Duvshinin, and things which are, this is a dough which you fry in honey, or possibly you knead it with honey, and then you fry it. Viskaritin, and wafers, thin wafers. Echala samasres, echala which is scalded in a pan. Vahamaduma, and a produce, or flour, or something which truma fell into. And remember, truma has to be bottled in 100. You didn't have 100. It's called meduma. You can't eat it, it's forbidden. I mean, a kohen can eat it. Other people can't eat it. Kol elu peturim min achala. There's no chiyuv challah in all these cases. In the first group of cases, we understand them all because either there isn't a the first case was that it's not the right five species. It's not the five types of grain. It's not the right shiur. It's not a proper dough, it's only a liquid batter. And this last case, meduma, where you've got truma mixed in, it is exempt from challah because it says, Reishis arisosichem challah torim utruma. You should separate truma and not something chazal darshan, which is already truma, already got truma in it. But according to the Pirush of the Rush on the Rosh Halmi, it's talking about when, without the amount of challah which is in it, you won't have a full shear. If you would have a shi'ur, even without the amount of challah, then it would be chayev, according to him. Hey. Isa shetchilosa sufganin v'seifei sufganin v'tur min achallah. If it's sufganin at the beginning, in other words, it is a mere liquid batter. V'seifei sufganin, and at the end, you don't bake it, but you fry it with oil and honey and such like, or you cook it, then it's certainly p'tur min achallah, exempt from challah. That's the word in the Pirush. However, but t'chiloso iso, she'osu v'liloso avo, but if initially you made a thick dough, v'sufa sufganin, and then you fried it with oil or honey, or boiled it in water, or originally it was sufganin, it was only a liquid dough, but afterwards you baked it in the oven, chayev is b'challah, then it is chayev. It's only when the beginning and end has not got a din challah. V'chein ha-knuvka'os, chayovos. And knuvka'os also chayev. One pshat in knuvka'os is basically it's a bread pudding, something like that. You take pieces of bread and you break them up into crumbs and then you cook them. So even though at the end it's a kind of cooked dish, ideal for the children, he says, it's a machol, a tinukos. Nevertheless, it is chayev. Chayov is chayev b'challah. Vov. Ham be'isa. That is flour which is put into boiling water. Beshamay potrim or besila machayvin. Hachalito. This is where you pour the boiling water into the flour, which seem to be very similar in the other way around. First case, you put the flour into the water. Now you put the water into the flour. The other way around. Beshamay machayvin besila potrim. The Gemara in Psachim explains that actually it's not a question of which way around you put it. There are two different tannaim here. One teaches that Hameisa and Hachalito Beishamai Petrim Betila Machayvin, and one holds Hameisa Vachalito Beishamai Machayev and Betila Poter. And we've got the two versions brought here one after another, when in fact it's two different tannaim. Chalos Toda or Rakike Nozia, the chalos, matzah chalos actually, and wafers for the korbanos, the korban toda and the korban nozia. Oson la'atzmai potter. If somebody baked them specifically for his toda or his nazirus korban, then he's potter from chalos, because when he made this dough, he made it l'shem hektish. And since the pasuk says reishis ariso sechem, the first of your doughs, we learn that it's your doughs and not hektish doughs. So if you're baking it specifically for yourself for a korban, you're going to use it for the korban your potter. But if you made it limker bashuk, you've got a stall near the entrance to the Beis HaMikdosh, and you've baked these things chalos rakikim, you sell them for people to use in their korbanos. Since it's made for the market, and it wasn't made 100% l'shem hektish, because in the end of the day, if you don't sell them, you're likely to take them home and eat them yourself. You are chayev to separate challah. Zayin. Nachdoim she'osa se'er. A baker made a leavening dough. L'chalek to divide it up and to sell the pieces of leaven to other people so that they can make their doughs. Chayev b'chala. He's chayev to get chala. Even though the shiur is only incidental, he made a large quantity, but he's immediately going to divide it up into smaller pieces and sell it to different people. But since, at the end of the day, he doesn't find enough purchasers, he will bake it all together, it's chayev b'chala already. Noshim shenosnu l'nachtoim lases lohem seyur. But the other way round, women who give flour to a baker in order to make for them a dough, im ein b'shal achas mehem kishir p'tur min achalo. Cancel what I said about the other way around. That was chayev b'chalo, and this is p'tur min achalo. Yes, it is, the other way around. However, so if the baker does it with his own dough, even though he's intending to split it up, but it's his dough, if people don't buy it, he'll eat it, he'll keep it for himself, he'll take them all together, bake it all together, then he should separate challah. But the other way around, when women give it all to a baker, and he is going to bake it for them, but then divide it up, or at least make a dough for them, make a leavened dough, and then divide it up and give it back to them, then if the amount of flour which each one gave him is not a shir, im ein b'shal achas mehem kashir, patur min achalo, then there's no obligation to separate chala. Isas haklovim, ches, isas haklovim, a dough for the dogs, literally, or it could be for other animals as well, animal food. Even though it's made of a mixture of flour, but it's got a significant amount of bran in it as well, and it's designed for the animal, for the dogs to eat. However, bismang sharoi noichal noisa, if the shepherds will eat of it as well, because it doesn't have that much bran in it, and it is still edible for humankind, chayeves b'chalo, it's got te chalo, because it's got a din lechem. And similarly, because it's got a din lechem, ma'arvim bo, you can use it to make an eruv, whether an eruv tuchumim, or eruv yichatzeres, or mishtatfim bo, you can use it for shitufi mavuos, which is a similar kind of eruv which you make for the streets. We'll go into that in more detail. Not very far ahead of it, Hashem, when we come to Erevin. Umavorachin oleha, and you have to make a brach of hamotzi, because it's considered to be bread, and berchus amazin. Umazamnin oleha, and you can make a zimun of three people. Venasis b'yomtuv, and you can bake it on yomtuv, because you're only allowed to bake on yomtuv food. You can cook on yomtuv, but only food for humans, not food for animals. V'yotzeba odem dechavos v'pesach, and if you made it into a matzah, It's considered to be a valid bread, a valid matzah bread, and you can be yotzi your chiyuv kazayas matzah with it. Im ein haroin oichle. However, im ein haroin oichle mimeno. But if it's got so much bran in it that the shepherds cannot eat from it, and it's only fit for animals, ein achayves bachalo, ve'ein ma'arvin bo, ve'ein mishtasvin bo, ve'ein mevarchin ala, ve'ein mezamnin ala, ve'ein nasis biyontif. All these things you cannot do. You cannot. You don't take challah from it. You don't use it for eruvin. You don't make a hamutzi over it. It will be a bo'pre adoma, presumably. And you don't can't make a zimun over it. Obviously, you can't bench over it, and you can't bake it on Yom Tov. Ve'inod miyusidi chavos ba'pesach, and you can't use it for matzah. Ve'inkach ve'inkach metami tumas eicholim. But in one regard, it is considered like human food. Because, or one regard, it's treated like food, because it is metame tumas eichlim. Does become tame tumas eichlim, even though it is not normally eaten by man, since it could be eaten by a person al der dechak, since it could be eaten by him in an emergency situation, it is mekabel tumah like other food. And finally, tes hachalav atruma chayav malehem miso. This, the importance of challah and truma is most significant if chalila, an ordinary non-kohen, eats challah or truma deliberately, then he's chayv misa, misa b'dei shamayim. As the pasuk says, u'meisu bo ki yechaleluhu v'chol zar lo yechal kodesh, an ordinary person is not allowed to eat this sacred food. V'choymesh, and if he eats it accidentally, he's got to repay the value of what he ate, plus a fifth. Also a pasuk. V'asurim lezarim, and a non-kohenim cannot eat it. That is obvious, but the reason it's here, he says, is because this Mishnah we find also in Bikurim, and so we should really recall it. It was in Bikurim, and there it's contrasted with Maaseh Sheni, and with Maaseh Sheni. So Maaseh Sheni, of course, is allowed to be eaten. It's sacred, but you take it to Yerushalayim and you eat it yourself. Can be eaten by Zorim. But this, Truma and Chala, cannot be eaten by Zorim. V'heim nichsei Kohen, it belongs completely to the Kohen, to the extent that the Kohen is allowed to sell them, if he wants, and use the money to buy anything he so wishes. V'olim be'echad u'me'o, and it's only bottle in 101. In other words, if the one part of Truma, or Chala, falls into 100 other parts. Rotuna, not like other products which are bottled in 60. But ta'unim rechitzas yodayim, and it needs netilas yodayim. In fact, the whole original netilas yodayim was instituted because of truma. Chazal instituted that hands, since you don't know where they've been and what they've touched, have got a din of shnios latumo. We'll go into this in more detail in Mitzvah Hashem once it becomes tataris. But they've got a din that they give tumo. They impart tumo. Yes, okay. We're not in the next few weeks. They impart tumo to truma, however, that tumo is such that it can be purified with netilas yodayim. So the original, the basis of the gezeira of netilas yodayim, it was for truma. Chazal then extended it to all other bread, and this challah, interestingly, needs netilas yodayim not only before you eat. Chazal didn't say you need to wash before you touch bread, only before you eat bread. But for truma and for challah, you have to wash even before you touch challah. I assume that does not apply. I didn't have a chance to look up the locha. I assume that does not apply, at least to our challah nowadays. Certainly not to challah schutzaritz. Never heard of anybody needing to wash beforehand. But presumably it certainly applied to proper challah, min ha-teira. Well, it seems to be according to the Mishnah it does, and presumably that's the halacha. For Herif Shemesh, and also a Kohen can't eat it unless he's pure. That means completely pure. In other words, he's not only tovled, but he waits till nightfall, and he starts the new day in a state of Tahara, which, as we know, is only at nightfall. Because we know it from the very first Mishnah, Meimus, Ikonis, Shema, Ba'arvis, from what time ten you read the Shema at night, Mishosh, Ikonim, Nichnosim, Lechol, Betrumo, from the time that the Kohenim come in to eat their Trumo, their Torah, to eat their Trumo only with nightfall. Ve'ein nitolim in Atoha ala Atomei. And you cannot separate truma or challah from a tahar dough onto a tahar produce onto tomate produce, or vice versa. Because it's got to be min elamina mukuf, because it's got to be mukuf, it's got to be all together in one place. And even though technically, I think we came across this in a Mishnah previously somewhere, even though technically they could be right next to each other, say in a basket, but not actually touching, one could be tomei and one could be tahar, but because we're frightened that people don't want to put tumah and tahara together for fear one will touch the other and will keep them well apart, so they won't be close enough together or in a situation which could be considered min hamukuf, joined together in one place. And therefore Chazal said you can't separate from tahar onto tomei, from tomei onto tahar. Umin hadava hagomor, you can only separate it from something which is complete. In the case of maseris, we know from the previous mesechta that means when it's reached a stage where all the processing is completed. And as far as challah is concerned, it means once the dough has actually been kneaded. You can't separate the challah from the flour, or even from the flour and the water when you've mixed it together, but you haven't kneaded it together. And you cannot say all my goyren, my entire granary should be truma, or my entire dough should be challah, because there has to be a separation, part of. Lo maklum. In such a case, he said nothing at all. Actually, Yeshaya mixed us. He's got to leave some behind. You've got to have separation from your produce. If you separate 95% and leave only 5%, then that you could do.